So praise God. Welcome to Healing Class, May 31st, 2020.
Pentecost.
Yeah, Pentecost. Hallelujah. We're celebrating the birthday of the church.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit came down, imbued us with power so that we could live a victorious life, so that we could go do the works of Jesus.
Amen.
We could go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. We could. He empowered us to be Him through us.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit fills us so we can be Him through us.
Yes.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
How good is that? It's not us for Him, it's Him through us.
Yeah.
Praise God. So that's our celebration. That's not the message. But that is the... That's exciting.
Yes.
Oh, how's this going to appear on the recording? Oh, well. Maybe I'll... Yeah. Hey, I want to go to that class. I want to go to that church. It's having so much fun.
Yes.
So praise God. So Lord, thank you so much for having given us this opportunity to gather together, to learn from your word, to be instructed by the Holy Spirit who was given to us, to lead us into all truth, to show us things to come, to empower us to be your witnesses, to be you, your arms, your hands, your voice in this world. So we can let everyone see how good you are. And Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We receive that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today, as you know, we're in healing class. So you know the subject's going to be having to do with healing. And not healing in the way the world talks about healing, because they have different ways. We're going to look at what the Word of God says about healing. And often... Like if you're ministering healing to someone, if you're trying to figure out where they are, what's their knowledge, sometimes we'll ask them, well, what scripture are you standing on? And so that way you can kind of get a feel for, okay, where are they? So what scriptures would if we're talking about healing, do any scriptures come to mind?
1 Peter 2:24.
1 Peter 2:24.
Matthew
8:17. Fulfilled it.
Isaiah 53.
Those are all connected together. All those have to do, all that is great. All those have to do with, you know, and they all have to do with by his stripe, that he bore our sicknesses. So therefore, that's our foundational authority to believe for health. Hey, wait a minute. It's already been paid for. All three of those that she mentioned were all that. And all three of those had the word healing in it. And sometimes we'll have scriptures that have actually say the word healing. But there are also, we can look at healing scriptures. Like if we say healing, it's not like a gospel of healing, a gospel of prosperity, a gospel of deliverance. It's the gospel.
Right.
And includes everything. So even scriptures that may not appear to be healing scriptures are important because to our understanding of healing. And I'm going to go to one today. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And in the book of Ephesians, in the end of chapter 4, Paul's listing some things. He's kind of laying out some characteristics of a Christian. Characteristics that should be evident in the life of a Christian. And I'm going to pick it up here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Ephesians 4:26, those first two words says, be angry. Be angry. Now, if you notice that structure of that sentence, who's the implied subjects? Who's he talking to? Who would you say? Who would be angry? Somebody else? Yeah, he's talking to you. He said, you, be angry. Now, there's different times when the Word of God will tell us, like, be holy, even as he's holy. You'll see, be wise as serpents. So those are all commands. It's not a suggestion. Be angry. Anybody here ever been angry?
Oh, no. Your wife?
Then you're...
At me?
So we all know about being angry.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the next four words... that come after that, we'd all feel that. But it says, be angry, but do not sin.
Right.
See, because he's setting a principle here. Be angry. He's telling us, be angry.
Right.
Now, we all know how to be angry. But then it's the balancing part of do not sin. I mean, in other words, your anger is not at a person. Your anger is at something. Your anger at something else. Your anger, as he talks about here, is at the devil, the enemy. Your anger is not at a person. If your anger is expressed toward a person, then you're in the area of sin. You're in an area of strife. So, but a lot of times, and this verse is misunderstood because it ends up we focus so much on the do not sin that we kind of throw out the be angry. And so we said, we don't want to be angry because sometimes we lump it together. Well, I don't want to sin, so I'm not going to be angry.
Right.
And so, and sometimes the rest of this verse is kind of interpreted that way too. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And the interpretation that I've heard and even some translations lend to it is, don't go to bed angry. Get it resolved before the sun goes down. But when you think about it, does that mean, is what this verse really saying, be angry as long as you're not angry by the time you go to bed at night? Does that really seem like that's what it's saying? No. It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. The sun goes down at the end of the day. That's when the sun goes down. And then in the Jewish way that the new day started then. So that's when things ended at the end of the day. The sun went down at the end. So when you think of it that way, it says that anger shouldn't end. Be angry and don't let that anger end. And if you go into the next verse then right away, he continues on. Nor give place to the devil. Don't give any place to the devil. So this is all connected. It's not just, hey, don't get angry at all. They say, don't be angry. Don't let your anger end. Don't give place to the devil. It's laying out some very specific things to us. And that's so critical when we're in this area of healing. Because as you mentioned on those healing scriptures, those first ones, I said, what are they? We talked about Jesus already providing for us healing, already our right, already our inheritance, already a gift to us. And so we have to be able to say, if there's a threat against that, you have to be able to be angry against that threat. And that's actually what the dictionary defines anger as a response to a perceived threat. So
that's good.
And so when we say that, and so a lot of times people will get angry at people because they see a threat from a person, mm-hmm. And so they'll get angry at that person. But what we're saying, if there's a threat coming to steal something that God has provided for us, then we should be angry at that.
Amen.
All right. Now, like I said, Paul's laying out certain things in here, and he's laying out certain characteristics, and he goes down through the end of this chapter, in like for example in verse 32 he says and be kind. And then he expounds on that. So again, he's saying, you know, be angry, be kind, which can look like a contradiction, but they're not really. You're being kind toward people.
Mm-hmm.
You're being angry at the enemy that's trying to hold them or attack them or oppress them. So it really matches.
Yeah.
Then the next verse, which is chapter 5, verse 1, because we added the chapters and verses later, he continues on, he says, therefore, he sums the whole thing up when he's laying this out. He's there, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So if he's listing all these things, be angry, be kind, be imitators of God, that means, is God angry?
No.
Turn to Psalms chapter 7. Turn to Psalms chapter 7. Because if we're saying be angry, and if we're getting a command to be angry, then in the command to be imitators of God, we have to look at that. Well, is God angry? So let's look at Psalms chapter 7 in verse 11. Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, this is Old Testament. All right, so it's an old covenant, so we have to look at that through the light of the new covenant, light of what Jesus provided for us. So God is not angry at us because all the wrath has been placed on him, but there's an anger that God had. Let's look at this way. It said, let's look at it this way. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? And the word tells us that Jesus was the expressed image of the Father. So let's ask this. Was Jesus angry?
Yes.
Can you give me an example?
When he whipped the money changers out of the temple.
When he whipped the money changers out of the temple. Yep, there was anger there, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, be angry and do not sin. Did he sin? No.
Righteous.
It was a righteous anger. He saw evil going on there. Was it a sin? Let's look at that one. Let's look at that. That's in Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at it from Matthew chapter 21. He actually did this twice in his ministry. He cleared the temple. But we're going to be looking at it the second time. The first time he cleared it was shortly after he began his ministry, and he cleared the temple. Second time was just before he basically ended his earthly ministry, and it was about a week before he was crucified. So in Matthew 21, in verse 12. We'll start there. And it said, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the money tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So here's Jesus. What did he say that they had made it? A den of thieves. And so there was an anger in here that he saw. Now, did the people see it that way? Did they see it as?
No.
No, they didn't see it that way. In fact, when he first did it almost 3 years prior, apparently they didn't, because all this came back in. They didn't see the significance of, hey, this is the house of God. Don't let thieves be in the house of God. Don't be in. Let thieves be in the temple. What do thieves do?
Steal.
Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. So here's Jesus cleansing the temple of thievery, things that steal, kill, destroy. And that's Jesus. He's angry at this. All right, I want you to turn to another scripture.
Okay, you can stay right there.
Because we're gonna connect that. I want you to go to Corinthians. And as we're going there, we're talking about thieves, and what do thieves, if the thief, let's say it this way, could a thief steal $1 million from you right now? No? Why? Don't have $1 million. Hey, but not on you anyway. So it couldn't steal from you right now $1 million because you don't have it. So a thief steals what you have. All right? As we're going to the next one, the thief only steals what you already have. So a thief will come after to get what you have, because so the thief knows you have it. All right? I want you to go to, we're at, what'd I tell you?
Corinthians.
First Corinthians chapter 6. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "And do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price." What did Jesus do in the temple with the thief? Drove him out. He drove him out.
Wow.
He drove him out. That temple was meant to be a house of prayer, a house of the presence of God. And there was no right for a thief to be in there. There was no right for that. That the purpose of that temple was for the glory of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God. So, if we want to be imitators of God, imitators of what Jesus did, if there's a thief in the temple, drive it out. That's where that anger rises up. You take that word, you make a whip out of that word, and you drive that out.
Praise God.
Drive it out. And this is important. Jesus said, you know, it is written. And notice what he said? It is written, my house is a house of prayer.
Yep.
Same thing. He's driving them out, but he's saying it is written while he's driving them out.
Absolutely.
It is written. So there's two things going on there. There's something going on in the physical, and there's something going on in the spiritual. Yeah. He's declaring the word to them. When there is something, a thief trying to steal, trying to take what is already yours, health. We've established that's yours. Ronnie.
Where it says we fight the good fight of faith. So and we should
yes.
have an attitude of we know who we are.
Yes.
Yep.
And there's a righteous anger when this tries to come upon us and we say, no,
yep.
we're not allowing that. We
Absolutely.
Don't put up with that.
That's exactly right.
More
that's
than a, conquerors through Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Because look at all the other people in Jerusalem that were in the temple that didn't have that recognition that this house was supposed to be a house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that concept. And today, how many people don't realize that this body
right.
is no place for sickness?
That's right.
And it just becomes
just like everyone else's yeah. body.
Just like everyone else. They don't see anything like,
no.
wait a minute.
Right.
But just like Jesus drove and said, it is written. I'm bringing the truth here. I'm enforcing the truth. I'm enforcing it on this temple. Thief gets out.
Wow.
Same thing here that we are raising up in anger
yep.
of things that are contrary to what it is written. We say, no, it is written that Jesus took
yep.
my infirmity.
Yep.
Jesus bore my sicknesses.
Amen.
And then you said, same whip, it is written. And so you're driving that anger, and it's not anger at people, it's anger at that force, that demonic sickness that would try to steal what is yours.
Yes.
You are not trying to get, I'm not trying to be angry to try to get something from God. I'm saying no to something that's trying to steal something
that's
that
right.
is mine.
Yep.
And so there's an anger that rises because of that. I'm going to say it this way. So we need to be at a point where, now listen to this carefully, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I said. We need to be mad at hell
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and not going to take it anymore.
Yep.
The world has a slightly different way of saying that. They change one word of that. But we need to be mad at hell. So when we see sickness trying to come on us, trying to come on somebody else,
mm-hmm.
we need to be able to declare to it, no, I am not giving place to this. And it's easy to fall into kind of a passive attitude because that's where the world is. I mean, look at when Jesus cleansed the temple in Jerusalem. 3 years passed and it fell back into the same, you know, it fell back into the same pattern that was there before. It's just like in the world, people are accustomed to having sickness in their body. It becomes expected as you get to a certain age,
mm-hmm.
certain decades, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, the world attaches certain expectations. They try to attach certain expectations to those decades. And so they can try to, this is just a way of trying to get a thief in the door. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we have to be on guard. We have to not let that anger go to rest, go to the end. We have to stay diligent on it. And I'm preaching to me too. I didn't just like kind of pull a message for you. This I'm speaking this because God's talking to me about it. And you know, I'm a nice guy. And so I was expecting an amen.
You are.
I was expecting an amen. So I'll give you another chance. You see, I'm a pretty nice guy.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah. And nice guys, I mean, the world says nice guys finish last, but the nice guys can end up being non-confrontational or not wanting to engage, not wanting to be angry, not wanting to
push back
or not doing that. So for something personality-wise, I have to remind myself in the Word because it's not pleasant, you know, to enter into a fight, to be angry, to stay on that. There, it takes a consistency. It takes a determination. Mm-hmm. It takes a understanding of that where you are. And I'm not going to be stolen from. I will not be stolen right. from. You notice in that the very first scripture we started with was in Ephesians chapter 4. And that verse 7 said, and give no place to the devil. I mean, that no place is very absolute. It's like, don't give him a little bit. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him, okay, I can live with this. Okay, I can get by with this. Okay, yeah, all these things are happening. If I could just get this, I can live with the rest. You know, or this has been gone a long time, and okay. The world has a way of saying, teach you how to cope with sickness. See you how to embrace it almost and make it part of your lifestyle and change your lifestyle to revolve around the sickness. So they have a different way. And so we have to be diligent and really be saying, no, I'm going to give no place, none, zero, nothing. And that requires being able, just like Jesus said, I took this whip up before and I'm going to take this whip up again. And I'm not letting this thing settle into my body. No. No. No place. No place. So, but when I saw that, when the Lord showed me that contrast, or the really the parallel between what Jesus did in the temple to get the thief out and what he called us to do as temple of the Holy Spirit, not to allow. And that's an attitude. You got to have an attitude.
Absolutely.
You need an attitude.
That's right.
You do.
Yeah. This world, I mean, James talks about it too. He says, resist the devil. Yeah. Resist is like actively fight against. Mm-hmm. Actively fight against. You know, there's, I forget, somebody.
Your
attitude. And not your aptitude that determines your altitude. Right? But your attitude behind it. Because it's not just, I'm going to yell. All right, okay, I see this as stress. I'm just going to yell and get into emotions. You really have to have that underlying now knowing, that underlining foundation that we even started out with, that this is mine.
This
is what God has given to me. This is my right. I have this authority. I've been given the whip. I've been given the sword. I've been given the authority to exercise this health and command this and be able to say no and be able to have that attitude that I'm mad at hell and I'm not taking this anymore.
Yep.
I will not. Yeah.
I've told people before that with me, it's like when you're dealing with sickness, it's almost like a rebellious child. Hmm. And as a mother, I'm not putting up with it. It's like, you know, I'm the adult, I'm the parent, you're going to listen to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that totally is a picture of it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you just have to be that way. Mm-hmm. And they, hell knows mm-hmm. if you mean it or mm-hmm. not.
Amen.
You know, can I share this one scripture
yeah.
real quick?
Go ahead.
Over in Isaiah 54, it says in verse 14, it says, in righteousness you will be established. And the Lord pointed out the next part of that. You will be far from oppression, for you will not be in fear. And I know they have the colon and all that, the separating. You will be far from oppression because you're not in fear. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Don't be in fear.
Don't be in fear.
And you won't be oppressed.
Don't be in fear. Yeah.
And sometimes your knees might knock a little.
But you walk in the authority right. of the knowing.
Right. Of knowing.
You walk in the knowing.
Yeah.
You walk in courage. Ronnie, do you have something?
I want to read a scripture. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom, talk about in Jesus, we have boldness and we have access with confidence by the faith of him. We realize we have the faith of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And of course, in Psalms 103, it talks about don't forget your benefits. You know, when we joined, when we got born again, all these benefits belong to us. Now, do we deserve them? No. But because we come into the family of God, and you know, a lot of the believers don't know they have these benefits.
That's right.
And it's so awesome that it belongs to us, and we need to have an attitude, hey, that's mine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We go
yep.
after, we pursue it.
Yep.
And having a boldness, a frankness of saying, hey, devil, like I said, we get angry at him, but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awesome what God has done, and he's done everything by his grace. It's all done. It's a matter of us taking a stand, going after, pursuing it. And we go through things. Doesn't mean we don't ever have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had problems. He had situations to deal with. And we're the same way. We have situations, but we just go through them. How good our God is. I mean,
amen. You know? Amen. And just I'm going to bounce off on that on that fear, because that really is crucial. That's another way the thief tries to come in and steal. Mm-hmm. If I can plant fear, it's kind of like planting doubt, plant fear. And actually, I heard that, I don't know where I got it, but I heard that that fear actually affects your immune system. And it can cause the immune system to fail.
And you can't be in fear and faith at the same time.
Yeah, fear is fear.
You're going to be in one or the other.
You have to make a choice. Now you might have feelings
yeah.
that go contrary,
right.
but you don't move by the feelings. You have there's a knowing mm-hmm. that you're standing where the word is. There's a knowing that no, this is mine. This is really mine. But it also means that you have a determination to stay fresh with what really is yours,
right.
to stay. Keep that before your face, just like in the Old Testament, they had the picture of all the scriptures that were before their eyes, mm-hmm. because it kept them on the path. It kept them moving in that direction. It kept them the word before them, because just like we said when we started, be angry and do not sin. Be angry, and it's easy to slip into the flesh. It's easy to get off into, yeah. and all of a sudden, you know, it's into strife and confusion, every evil work, and all of a sudden, hey, that's not where you want to be. Same thing with your mind. If your mind is not stayed, then you can end up not being sure. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know the name of this. I don't know what the term is, but it's some, okay, there's hypochondria, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whatever, people think they could get sick and whatever. Okay, when this whole thing happened with the coronavirus, there was something that the Lord had told this one minister was released. I cannot think of what the name of it is. But what it is people were researching online, mm-hmm. and that was building
yeah.
the image of sickness inside.
Yes.
They have a term for it. They have a term for it. And the medical community has labeled this thing.
Oh.
And it's from people researching, going online. is scared, mm-hmm. and feeding it. There is a name, and it's like they've got that before their eyes, and yep. they don't have what the Lord said. And right. I know the world doesn't know, but we know.
Well, we know.
And they think we're crazy because we're calm. Just like Ronnie said, we're going through this. We'll get through this.
We're going to get through this.
We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, mm-hmm. right? We fear no evil.
We fear no evil. Yep.
And but it's like, yeah, there's a word I wish I knew right off, but it's from feeding on the internet and researching.
Mary, and then do they actually start having symptoms?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And they feed on medical information, internet. And mm-hmm. they have a name for it.
Because that's the image then of themselves.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have the right image.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really.
But they're keeping it before them.
Yep.
And that's all they do. I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
MD psychosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds kind of like it, but that's not it. Photopsychosis,
something like that.
Something like that.
But it's like, yeah. Wow. Well, you're building an image. It's yes. in a sense, you could say it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
Because they're getting what they expect.
And they're doing it. They're doing it to yeah. themselves. They're feeding it. And they have no idea.
Power.
The tongue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're calling those things that be.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're calling it in.
When you open the door to fear, instead of slamming the door on fear and rising up in anger.
Yep.
Say, this is not mine. Not mine.
Yep.
So all this pandemic comes up, all this sump takes the world by, you know, it takes anybody who's not founded on the word. All right, if you're not anchored in the word, then it's going to be swept away. And so you can get caught up in all this emotion or all this news or all these facts. Yeah, and then the plug in, well, really, you should be plugging into the word and reminding yourself, no, this is what the word says.
Yeah.
So not in this house. Just like Jesus said, my house, my Father's house is a house of prayer.
Yeah.
Then we talk to our own house. Talk to my own body.
Yes.
Not
yes.
in this temple.
Right.
When a symptom rises up, not in this temple. Body, you are whole. You are whole and well. I saw your hand go up. I saw that hand.
Could I just say this one thing? The Lord did this right before this thing hit. I had a situation that I had been delivered from fear, and I had horrible things happen in the past. Well, anyways, there was a situation that arose, and it brought fear, and I mean terror. I felt just sick. I was so scared, and I got up. I slept through the night, whatever, got up in the morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you've been delivered from this. Are you going to take it back up? And I was like, no. And it took me a couple of days. You ask Ronnie, it took me a couple of days, but I stood right on it. And I said, you are not coming back on me. And I mean, it was fear and choking terror. And it is, I had to stand against it. And I'm delivered, you know, mm-hmm. in freedom. But then this corona thing hit. And it was like the Lord said, it wasn't just for that situation, but for this.
Yeah, you needed the deliverance prior to getting into this situation. Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of like...
Well, we know God, he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but
right.
in Psalms 34, 4, it says, this man sought the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all of his fear. We will seek the Lord. Sometimes we need more of the Lord, if I can say it that way.
Yeah.
We need more word.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
will deliver us from this fear. Because this fear, we know it does not come from him.
Right.
And if we will seek God, he'll deliver us from it.
And that's just another way we're talking about resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's basically what Mary was saying. You know, that this came up. She was delivered.
Yes.
But yet this thing came back up.
He knows your past.
But in the same with sickness.
Yeah.
So you get free from a sickness, and the symptom comes back, and
right.
it comes back on. What's the response?
Resist.
See, the response is like, well, maybe I did. If you take that path, the thief has an entrance.
Right.
The response should be what?
No,
not in this house, not in this body. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a rising up. It's a being angry. It's a being angry. It's keeping that, not letting the sun go down on the anger. Keeping alert, keeping attentive. resisting the devil.
In the scripture, sickness will not return the second time.
Not return. And stand on it. It is written. It is written. It'll not return the second time. That's not mine. I will not. I will not receive it.
It says it will not rise up a second time. Yeah, because I'll knock your head off.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to rise up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will not be.
Yeah.
But it said that in 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Destroy them. Did he accomplish his purpose?
Yes,
yes he did.
Yes.
He accomplished his purpose. He empowered us with that purpose and with the authority and with the paid in full already done, and said, just like we're celebrating today, the power of the Holy Spirit coming under the church and flowing through us, that's what our mission.
Amen.
That's our mission. In our own bodies, in our own circle.
Absolutely.
Carry it out.
Amen.
And do it. Be angry.
Amen.
Yeah. I heard from a pastor that would say that most Christians don't know, but the devil's been defanged, but they continue to let him gum them to death.
Because
they just don't know. He doesn't have the power anymore.
Yeah, well, just like the example of people going and researching and getting themselves in fear. Well, people kill themselves. I mean, it's like, here's the data.
Well, the experts say this.
I know. Yeah, the experts.
Adequate.
Well, you know what? Here's what the expert says.
Yes.
Here's what the expert says.
Yeah.
The expert says, I've given you power. I've given you authority to trample serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And most things won't bother you.
Nothing
shall in any way harm you.
And the word says, don't put your faith in the wisdom of man.
Put it in the power of God.
We start searching all that out. The doctor says this. And, well, don't put your faith in that.
Oh,
doctor.
My God.
I mean, we go to him, but, you know, we don't put our faith in him.
Amen.
Yeah. The living God.
Amen. Yep. Whose report will you believe? You know, whose report?
When the heart issue, we were at the hospital, and the doctor said something to me, and because we don't think sickness. We don't think all of that stuff. And when he said something to me, said what had happened, I was like, what? I mean, I was stunned because I'm not thinking that way.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking there's health.
No landing zone.
Healing. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what?
There's no place here for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not giving you any place, devil.
No place. Didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, praise God, because there was a day when I'd have buckled.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So you're going to be angry?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to be angry.
You're going to be angry, Pat.
I'm going to be angry. And thin that. We're not letting the sun go down. So it's one thing to be here and we can get really excited and really turned on and really, yes, I'm mad and I'm not taking this. I'm not taking it. So but then we go out. Don't let the sun go out as you leave class. Don't let that sun go down on that righteous indignation, that determination to say, I'm not taking it. I'm not giving any place. Give no place to the devil. You have no place here. And I'm going to kick you and send your saddle home. Praise God. Well, stand up. We're done. I'm going to give a prayer with you. Hallelujah. Sounded to me like you got something out of this. So praise God. Lord, thanks so much for your word to empowering us. How to be angry with a righteous anger.
Yes.
Not let anything in these bodies that's contrary to what your word declares is already ours.
Amen.
So we say, this body, you are whole.
Yes.
You are whole and well.
In Jesus' name.
By his stripes, by what Jesus provided, come into proper alignment. Receive health. Body, you be whole. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.